Amen. All right, here we are back for week two of our series that we're beginning in January. It's titled Jesus Is, and maybe this is your first week and you weren't here last week and you wonder what this is about, and maybe this is your first Sunday. I hope it's the first of many. I hope that you're looking for a church and we get to be in your life and you get to be in our lives and we can have a great 2020 together. But we started this series titled Jesus Is, and it's pretty simple. This series is just about the impact that Jesus has on our life. We are not the same. Can I tell you, we are not the same when we are the focus and he is not the focus. There are things that happen in our lives that is different when he is the center versus us. And so we're looking at the beginning of the year, and we could talk about a lot of things. And I'm just like, let's start out the year just talking about Jesus. Let's put him in his place, rightful place in our lives, and let's figure out what he has for us this year. And so like I said, maybe you weren't here last week, and you're like, I don't know what we talked about, so I want to catch you up to date. So last week, we had our first Jesus Is, and it was simply this: Jesus is our new beginning, okay? Jesus is our new beginning. In a time of year when people are just, you're looking to make decisions. You're looking to make decisions on what things you need to get better at this year. I know you've had this thought: what do I need to do better in 2020? So we're like, okay, this is what we're going to talk about, because we all have those aspirations for the better life. Those things we need to tweak and change and just modify and build on to make life better. But I told you last week, I felt like God was doing something different in my life. And so I kind of started out this year with being more personal about me and what God is doing in me. Maybe he'd speak to you through that. And I felt like God was grabbing a hold of me and saying, Scott, what if this year is not about just becoming better? What if this year is not about just changing or tweaking and just building on? What if you allow me to be the God that I am and create something completely new? You want to think about this year and how things are going to be better? How about we do something different and just let me create new? And so last week we went to scripture and the idea of starting new and new beginnings. And so we went to Genesis chapter 1. And the very first three words of scripture, as I told you, as you know, in the beginning. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and this is amazing news for you and me. Because if God can create new out of nothing in this earth that was not there, it was formless and it was empty, then what does that say about what he can create new in you for this year? So it's amazing news. And I look at the life of Jesus, and I'm like, this is what he came to do. Because he sees us and he realizes that we know we can't fix ourselves. And he's like, I'll just come myself and do it. I'll just come and do it myself. And so this is the work on the cross. This is the work of what Jesus came to show us what life was really about. It allows us to speak a powerful portion of scripture into our life that we saw in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, where Paul writes, anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. Jesus is our new beginning. And can I tell you, this is so much better than any New Year's resolutions. This is so much better than any goals that you're going to make. And so maybe this year, starting last week, it was, this is the challenge. Let's not just get better this year. Let's not tweak a little bit this year. Let's not just say, what's this one place I don't want to be a mess anymore? What if it's God's going to create something new in you? And so maybe you took that challenge. And so that was last week. In case you weren't here, that was last week. And now we move on to today. But the reason also I tell you about last week is because I don't want to leave it behind. Okay, I don't want to leave last week behind. We're going to build on it today. We're actually going to be building on each other the whole month of January. And so I want to build it on today. And I was thinking about last week in the end of service. I don't know what it does to you, but can I tell you from my seat how we ended last week just does a pastor's heart really good. Just to see the front filled with people saying, God, I do want that new beginning. I do want to be created new. Just looking at this year of the possibilities of what God can do in our life, and it's just like, I still can see it. I was seeing it this week. I was looking at faces that were up here, and I'm just praying, God, will you just do something new in their life? And I know there was stories and seats that weren't even up front, that God was trying to speak something into us. I'm just praying this week because of the possibilities of what this year could be. But even in the midst of having an ending of service that way that I absolutely love, I had a thought. And it got me thinking about church. And I've seen days like last week. I've seen responses to God like last week. I've seen God set people free that are things that are holding them back in life, and I've been that person. I've been that person that God begins to just do something special and begins to break something free from. But I got a question. What about the after? What about the after that moment front when God does something like that? What about the after when God begins to work in our lives and he begins to show us things and release us from fears and anxieties and maybe sins, and maybe there's some grief and some shame and some just heaviness, whatever that moment is. Like, what about the after? And I just began to have a thought. I don't know if it's Scott's thought or God's thought, but I like to think that God began to speak something in me. And he says, Scott, you know what? I think sometimes at churches, as good as those moments are, I think we fall in love with moments. I think we fall in love with moments, and we don't look at the after. That we so badly want people to be set free. And I'm there with you. We want people to be set free. But my problem is what comes next. And I know that we live in kind of a microwave cooking kind of culture, right? That we ask God for these quick response moments in your life and my life, and we want these things. We ask God to take things away, and once again, I think he does. I think God works powerfully. I think God did some things in people's lives last week. But it still begs a question for me. What comes after that momentary spiritual victory? What comes next? But I think you understand this, right? I think you understand how this works. You maybe have been this person that you feel like God speaks to you. You have moments where you say, yes, God. Where you say, I want everything from you, and I receive it, I accept it, I want everything you want from me, God. You've had that moment. And so we worship and we pray and we commit ourselves, whatever that moment is for you. And I think God does a work, but what comes next in your life? What is the after? Where are the life-sustaining, life-altering victories in our lives? Even maybe more this question, how do I live in the victories that God is trying to get me to experience? How do I live inside of the work that he wants to do in my life? And that's what today is about. It's kind of a follow-up from week one of God wants to create something new, but as he begins to work, what comes next? And so I speak this message from the depths of my heart that I want us to be set free. I want us to experience all that God has for us. I want life transformation. But I also know, and this is just my pastor's heart speaking, I also know that many times we stop short of what God really has for us. We stop short. And I want to tell you today, there is so much more than just that wow, overwhelming moment. There's more than that moment. There's more than the what I've experienced before, of just like a shedding of a tear and the baggage being lifted off of me in a moment. There's more. There's a depth of freedom. There is power that's available to us in God that I'm not sure we always experience. And I just say, what about the next? So this is where our next Jesus is comes in. I believe Jesus is our new beginning. But it doesn't stop there. Jesus is also our source of strength for sustained victories. Listen, Jesus is our new beginning, but he's also our source of strength for sustained victories. One of the saddest things that I see people in people's lives is they experience a moment, but then they go back to real life. Like, what do I do? How do I live in this? I had this phenomenal moment with God. But what now? Has this ever happened to you? Can you relate to this? Can you point to a time in your life where you have that wow moment, but then you get back to regular life and you're like, wow, what now, God? I see you did something special in me, but what now? I have been stuck in this cycle in my life. God, you work, but then life. God, you work, but then life. And God, you work, and I don't know if that's you, but I feel like there are people in this room who can resonate with this. They have the wow moment, what about life? And I'm just convinced that God wants more for you, and he wants more for me. And I began to realize this in the month of December. God reshaped this series. I was actually going another direction, and God began to reshape this series in December. And so today, just like last week, I just want to say, I'm going to kind of put myself out there, that I want to speak a message to you today, but it's not just a message for you. It's a message that's been spoken to me for weeks now. That God has been shaping something in me, and I'm just going to kind of just put it out there, all right? That's what you get with me, I know. But I'm going to put it out there. And I felt like God was saying to me, Scott, this is going to be a big year for you in 2020. It's going to be a big spiritual year. And I felt like he was also saying, this is going to be a big year for First Wesleyan Church. Like, I just feel it in my bones. I feel it in my soul. I just feel like this is a big year. And I felt like he was saying, some things I want to do, some things I want to do this year, but I'm not, or you are not going to be able to experience it without my supernatural working in it. You're not going to be able to experience it without my supernatural movement. It's not going to be a strategic movement. It is going to be a supernatural movement. It's going to be more than a moment. It's going to be more than a moment. And I feel like God was saying, you're going to need my strength for this sustained victory that I want to give you. He says, Scott, so if you want to experience this, you're going to have to do some things differently. That's how life works, isn't it? When God wants to do something different, something has to change in me. Because if I didn't need to change it, then I would have already experienced it. So something has to change in me. And he said, if you're going to want this, you're going to need to be closer to me than you've ever been before. And so this is what I believe God spoke to me. And what I'm wondering is if God speaks it to me, maybe there's a way he wants to use me to speak to you, to pull you into something he has for you for 2020. So this is what I think he said. Scott, if you want to experience all I had for you, there's some consistent realities that need to change in you. And it's two words. Prayer and fasting. Now this is where I have to take a 20-second time out. I believe, and I may be overshooting this, I don't know, but I believe when I say those two words, I lose some people. I believe when I say the words prayer and fasting, there's this baggage that comes with it. There's this lack of understanding that comes with it. There's this, like, it's a bit weighty. It's not the glamorous talk. So last week, I'm talking about being made new and creation and you have a new start. And it's like, I want this. I want this. I want everything you want from me, God. And so we have that moment. And then Pastor Scott follows it up with, I think we need to talk about prayer and fasting. Maybe doodling comes out a little bit more. Maybe the phones come out. Maybe you check out because this carries some weight with it, and I know it. I know it because I have that same feeling and same weight. Can I tell you that prayer is really hard for me? Probably not the thing you want your pastor to say, right? Prayer's not an easy thing for me. You know me, right? Like, you know me. I'm kind of wound tight. You know, like, I'm always going. I'm always talking, running my mouth, and I'm here, there, and everywhere, and I'm in the coaching world, and I love my kids' activities and just church life and, you know, the whole family thing. I'm busy, and my mind is busy. It's hard to slow down. Prayer's tough for me. Is prayer tough for anybody else? It's tough. It's not because I don't believe in it. I'm me. And so I feel like sometimes when I bring this up, you're right there with me and you're like, I get it. Yeah, it's tough for me too. And maybe it's because also you haven't seen the dramatic effects, because it's not a moment, it's something deeper than that. And so it's not the instantaneous results that we want, and so we go to something that does something quicker. So we may have tried prayer a little bit here and there. But maybe for you, it hasn't been that thing that you go to for the sustaining victories in your life. And I get it, because prayer is a mental effort for me. I'm not trying to get you to lose confidence in me. I'm not saying I don't pray. I'm saying it's a mental effort for me. I have to force myself to do this. Now, some days are better than others, but to stop and do it, I get the baggage. I get life. I speak on Sundays, but I'm still Scott on Monday. But like I said, this wasn't just prayer, it's also fasting. And when I say the word fasting, this may go completely over your head, or you just want to dodge it. Fasting. I wasn't brought up talking about fasting very much. I don't know if you were or not, but like, I know about it. I fasted for 14 days before, just water, and it was good. I told you before I took this job, before I was open to it, I fasted for 7 days to see, God, is this really what you want me to do? Because I don't want to walk into this if it's not of you. I've had these moments before, but it hasn't been my go-to for spiritual breakthroughs always. It just hasn't been. And it's not just a spiritual thing, it's a little bit of a practical thing, and this is where I know we'll be the same. Scott loves him some food. There should have been some amens up in this place. You know what I'm saying? Scott loves him some food. I do. Like, I have cravings a lot. So this Friday, I pick up Jackson from school. And normally pick him up from Eccles, and we go and drive up 69 towards our house, but this today, we took a right on McFarland. Jackson's like, where are we going? Don't worry about it. Go a little further. Where are we going? Don't worry about it. We take a right at Ruby Tuesdays on the left out here, and take a right and to go towards Bryant Bank, but I'm not going to Bryant Bank. Go a little bit further. You know, we got some Peterbrook, and we got some Southern Ale House, and we got the Gourmet Kitchen, right? And like, he's like, where are we going? Just stay in the car. And I walk into the Gourmet Kitchen, and I walk out. Amber calls. Where are you guys? Somehow, some white chili chicken soup ended up in my car. I don't know how that happened. Amber knows. Scott's got some cravings, right? Like, I wanted some white chili. Anybody ever tried their white chicken chili soup? Come on, people, get some this week. It is so good. It's so good, I'm telling you. But that's not the only time. You may have saw my Facebook last night. I'm going to Publix, right? I'm just going to get some gluten-free bread because we're just going to make some grilled cheese for dinner. And so I'm like, oh, we didn't have some. We need to go get it. Ain't no gluten-free bread in there last night. You know, I walked out with, you saw, right? Klondike bars, Amber, Oreo cookie ice cream, whatever, on a stick, Scott, and some tortilla wraps because that's for my white chicken chili soup, all right? And so I get cravings, and I just got to have them. You know what I mean? Like, women get pregnant, right? And the thing is, they got crazy cravings, right? Amber's pregnant, and Scott's having cravings. And they call it sympathy cravings, right? No, I just think I like food. It's just what I do. I like food, and I have cravings, and a lot of them. But here is God. Here is God saying to me, there are some things ahead of you this year. I want to create new. I want you to experience more of the life that I want for you. And in order for you to experience, you got to connect with me in a way you haven't connected with me. And that's really what prayer and fasting is, isn't it? Prayer and fasting is basically saying, I'm declaring that what I really need is not of this world, and I will not settle for anything less than that connection with God. And so I began to walk down this road of prayer and fasting for 2020. Like I said, this is a message to you, but this has been spoken into me weeks before today. But the really cool part is God began to show me scriptures that I've read before, things I knew, things either personally, I read in college, whatever. He showed me scriptures again, and they mean something new to me. There's a book that he showed me, and I want to show you this book. There's this book that was brought to me. It's called Revival Starts Here. I gave it to all the staff members, and they've been reading. I'm going to give it to the board in the next couple weeks, so I want them to know about it. It was a simple book about prayer and fasting, and I just want, because it says a short conversation on prayer and fasting and revival for beginners like me. I just want to get to the nuts and bolts of, like, what is this prayer and fasting about for me? And I want a new beginning. And so I got this book, and it's just basically 5 devotionals, like 15 minutes a day. And it's just walking us through prayer and fasting. So actually, I bought a bunch if anybody wants to borrow any of that. But I read this book, and so I began to read. I began to read that books and scriptures, and God began to show me something. He began to show me that prayer and fasting is all through Scripture. Not just in the New Testament, but Old Testament. And there's some stories and some verses that I read. And when I read them, what I'm seeing is there are precursors, some pretty big and powerful moments in people's lives. Let me go to the Old Testament real quick. Moses prayed and fasted for 40 days before he got the Ten Commandments. David prayed and fasted for 7 days while his son was sick, as God did something in him for what was to come. Ezra prayed and fasted for his community because he saw the sin in it, and he's like, what do I do about it, God? Esther, she prayed and fasted for the safety of her community. Daniel prayed and fasted for 21 days for a clarity of vision so that he would know how to walk it out and how to lead in this world. Prayer and fasting, these are pretty big moments for people's lives. But it's not just the Old Testament. What I see is in the New Testament, we've got Paul. We got Paul right after he has the road to Damascus experience. What happens? He's now can't see, he's by himself, and he's praying and he's fasting. We see in the book of Acts, chapter 13 and 14 specifically, that the churches are praying and fasting before they send out their missionaries to do a work around the world. Also, you see in Acts 14 is the Galatian church, before they appoint new leaders that will shape the future of the church, they pray and they fast. And you got the biggie, Jesus. He prays and he fasts for 40 days before he goes out and does the work that God has for him. Praying and fasting. And these are just the stories. They're not the actual teaching scriptures like we see in Joel chapter 2. And this may be a year verse for you. This is a pretty powerful one. Joel chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. He says, even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart. Is this by chance something that God would want to speak to us? Return to me with all your heart with fasting and weeping. And mourning. These seem to be prayerful posturing. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. Joel, the prophet, is used to speak to us. But that, not just the Old Testament, what about the New Testament? We go to Matthew chapter 6. Jesus is speaking the most well-known sermon, you know, right? The Sermon on the Mount. And the people ask him, teach us how to pray. So he teaches them how to pray. But then right after, the prayer stuff ends in verse 15 of chapter 6. And then verse 16, it says this. When you fast, pause. Language is important. He doesn't say if you fast. You get that? When you fast. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it is not obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. Here's my point. God began to make it very aware to me that prayer and fasting was not a thing. It was an expected thing for his followers. It's not just a thing. It was an expected thing. He did not say if, he said when. All these people we look up to in Scripture as our models, prayer and fasting was there. It seems like this is the place where victories came from. It wasn't just a moment. It wasn't just momentary. It wasn't just a momentary new beginning. It was like this real, deep, life-changing, altering times in our life. So I decided, here I am in 2020. And God, I know you're speaking to me, and this hopefully should always be our posture. God, you're speaking to me, I'll just respond in obedience. I'm going to make a commitment that prayer and fasting will be more active in my life this year. I'm going to pray and fast because I think you, God, have something more for me. And I can't totally say what that is, but I know that God needs to get my attention to show me. And this is why I don't think prayer and fasting is about getting God's attention. Earning his love, earning something. It's not about getting God's attention. I think it's about God getting all of our attention. Prayer and fasting is not about getting God's attention. It's him getting all of our attention. Getting my attention to see what he has for me. And this has been a problem for me, but for us in our life. See, I've often thought of prayer and fasting from the idea of what I need to give up to give my undivided attention. If I was looking at prayer and fasting, is what do I have to give up to give my undivided attention? We're talking the time we got to give up. Technology, maybe we got to give up. Food, sports, TV. Like I don't know what the thing is. Can I just say this? Scripture talks a lot about food fasting. And there's something to that powerfully. There really is. That, like, we don't live on bread alone, Jesus says, but on all of everything that Jesus brings. Like, but in 2020, for some of you, food may not be the thing. There may be the technology side of this. This is about not me getting God's attention, but him getting all of my attention. And can I tell you, God does not have your attention. I know he doesn't have my attention all the time. He can't have my attention because everybody else has my attention because I'm paying attention to everything going on around me versus what God wants to speak to me. And so maybe some of you, the food thing, you feel like, that may not be what God's pushing me to. Maybe, because there is power in that. It's in Scripture. Maybe for some of you, there's another fast that God's going to push you into because he says, you have not given me your attention because it's spent here. Things that you have craved and given into those cravings. So what if God wants to change our cravings? And what if God wants to change our viewpoint on fasting? What if God wants to say to us, it's not about what you're giving up, it's what about what you're gaining? Maybe the problem with prayer and fasting, and when Scott brings this up, you're kind of maybe toeing the water, but not a lot. Because you've always thought about it, what do I have to give up? When in reality, it's what do I gain if I did this? So this is what I did. You've got some notes in front of you. I just kind of wrote some things down of what I think we gain if we lean into this idea of prayer and fasting. So first thing, what do we gain? This is like fundamental. I could stop after one. What we gain is a deeper relationship with God. What sometimes I think we miss in all this Christianity thing, coming to church and serving and all the good Christians, we forget there's a God who created everything, that sent his son to be our savior for everything in our life. And he wants to have a deep relationship with us. And we're kind of, that's a good thing. Sometimes I wonder if we don't run after the most important relationship we could ever have in our life on a deep level. It doesn't go beyond a knowledge. It doesn't get into intimacy. Because we invest ourselves in so many other things. And maybe what prayer and fasting does, it helps us gain a deeper relationship with our Creator, with our Savior, the one that is our only hope for everything we've ever searched for. And if that is the only thing, then maybe that's worth it for us to jump into this. But I don't think it's the only thing we gain. I think we gain a deeper relationship with God, but I think we also gain a renewed hunger for spiritual things. So cravings again, right? Scott's craving. Sometimes I crave things of this world more than I think I crave things in the spiritual world. I know my cravings work that way. Do your cravings ever work that way? Do you just find yourself wanting things that you can see versus things you can't see? I think when we pray and fast, I think God gives us a renewed hunger for spiritual things. And some of us, we've never felt that before because we haven't gone this place before. Third thing, I think what we do is we gain a greater ability to overcome strongholds. You've got some things that you've been pounding up against for a long time and can't break through, and you wonder why, and you're looking for that moment of breakthrough instead of that victory that comes maybe just by the power of our prayer and fasting with God. The power that comes through Him. Maybe you've never experienced it because you haven't gone where the victory is. You're looking at a strategic victory versus a spiritual victory. What else do we gain? I think we gain wisdom and clarity in life. I think we gain wisdom and clarity in life. Some of you feel like the world is spinning and you can't see things clearly at all. It's like, I don't know what my next move is. I don't know what decision to make. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And frustration. And there's this like tension inside of you that when we spend time with God, clarity and wisdom for life comes. And I think what that brings is peace. I don't have to chase everything because I know with clarity what my life is to be about. I need wisdom. Go to the one that says, I'll give you wisdom if you ask for it. We look all in the wrong places. What else do we gain? I think we gain freedom from myself, which may not make sense to a world that lives about ourselves, but Scripture makes it clear that Jesus says, die to yourself and you'll find life in me. Your biggest issue in life, because I know mine is me. I'm my biggest problem. And when I go to God and I spend time in prayer with Him, I see Him, experience Him, begin to know Him. When fasting becomes this thing, I get freedom from myself because I'm more about Him. And I become less of an issue. I'm telling you, one of your greatest issue in life is not life, it's you. And I know you know I love you, so I can say that. You're a problem. I can say it because I know this about myself. I'm a problem. I'm a problem. But God gives me freedom from myself. And then the last one, I think we gain strength for life's battles. Life is going to come, and it's going to be a storm. This is what we see in Matthew chapter 7. The storm's going to come. What have you built your life on? It's not an if, it's a when. Life is going to come. Life is going to come at you. Battles are coming. When we spend time with our Creator, we get a foundation in our life that when storms come, we are not blown away because we're connected to the one that gives us all the strength for life's battles. And so this is my thought for 2020. My hope is these times with God will not be about what I'm missing out on, because what you're fasting with, what I'm missing out on, but I'll realize what I've been missing out on this whole time. May these times of prayer and fasting not be about what you're missing out on, but you realize this is what I've been missing out on this whole time. Never want to go back to it. Is there something The essence of this, is there something that you've been wanting God to do in your life? Do you want him to create new, but not just stop short, not just stop there? Do you want sustained victories in life that have not been experienced? You are searching for a roadblock you keep running into. Do you want to experience a victory in this? Maybe you haven't experienced it because you haven't gone that one step further beyond the moments. Maybe it's that God wants more than spontaneous moments with us. Maybe he wants us to declare, God, I don't want to settle for what the world is bringing. I want all of you. There's this story in the New Testament about this young guy. He's really rich. And he comes to Jesus and he's like, Jesus, I've been watching you. There's something I want from you. How do I inherit the kingdom of heaven? This is what I love about the passage. It says, Jesus looked at him and he loved him. That should show you something right there. God's deep, passionate desire to give us out of love. Jesus looked at him and he loved him and he essentially told him, okay, sell all your stuff. Give away your money. And it says the man walked away sad. This is not a passage about money. This is a passage about cravings. This man craved his money more than he craved what Jesus could give him. He craved something of this world more than what Jesus could give him. He walked away sad because he wouldn't let go of this to lean into more of God. I think this is how I want you to think of it. God wants to change our cravings. He wants us to want him. The good thing is I think when we experience him, or scripture says, taste and see the goodness of God. When we experience that, we will want more and more and more and more of it. I know when I say prayer and fasting is your next move, it feels daunting. All I'm asking for this morning is you give it just a thought. God, is there something you want to do in my life that you've never done before? And in order for that to happen, I need to change a few things. I may need to give up a few things. I may need to let go of a few things. But I gain so much more. If you've never done it before, maybe you want to borrow this. You can ask some people. There are people in this room who believe in this. We can have conversations. Maybe for prayer for you, it's never been something you've understood. I asked Bill this week, would he make a prayer guide so I could give this to you? And they're in the welcome center as you leave. Just to give you a breakdown on just how to pray. Because maybe that's a big deal. And you're like, I don't even know where to begin. How do I fill time in my life prayer? It feels like I got grace down, but I'm not sure I got more than that. We want to help you with it. Maybe in 2020 you go, I'll give something else a chance because what I've been doing is not working. May God change your cravings that you crave more of him than anything else. But I think we need to walk down that road and give it a try. So I told you I committed to this for 2020, and I don't know totally what this looks like, but I do know this. I felt God was saying, okay, I want you to fast on Tuesdays. I'm going to fast on Tuesdays. I felt God was saying from 12 to 1 every day, which normal would be an eating time, I just want you to pray. And so this, I just want you to know about it. I'm going to be in here in the sanctuary every Tuesday, unless I'm traveling or something. We'll have someone else here, but I'm every Tuesday. I'm not going to be speaking. I'm not giving a lesson. I'm not entertaining. I'm going to pray. There'll be music on, and I'm going to pray. We'll have these guides if you want to be here. If you want to join me. If If you don't, it's not a big problem. I don't think this is something I want to put on you. I want God to be able to work something in you. I know what God's putting on me. And I follow in obedience. And if God really does have something big for me this year, and if God has something big for us this year, I want to lead in that way. So I want to invite you. You just need a strength that you don't have in yourself. On Tuesdays from 12 to 1, if you want to be with other people, I'll be here. You can count on it. My prayer is not isolated to that moment, but I felt like I needed a dedicated time that I said, I'm going to meet God there. Bill McDaniel just up doing announcements. You haven't met him yet. He said something good to me in this process because I've been talking about it for 3 or 4 months, like, what's this going to look like? He says, Scott, sometimes it's just showing up. Maybe you don't know what that day is going to be about, and maybe you don't need anything. Sometimes it's just showing up, and I think God begins to work. And I think it's in these moments God gives us whatever he wants to give us. So God wants to give you a new beginning, yes. He wants to create something new, yes. But he wants more than a moment. He wants you to experience his strength for the sustained victories in our life. Let me pray. God, this is a bit weighty because we're talking about a relationship with the creator of the earth, and the enemy wants no part of this. And God, I pray as a church we push through and just say, God, we want all of you in 2020. And all the things you want for us, we know are on the other side of spending more time with you, connecting with you, who are our source of everything we've ever looked for. God, I declare today that you're our hope for everything. There's only one. God, in a world that tries to throw things at us, you're our only hope. And God, if that's true, you're our only hope, then may we spend more time with you where you have our attention. May we break away from the things that grab a hold of us so we can have all of you. God, will you do a great work in our church this year? May you do a great work in us as individuals this year, always for your glory. In your name we pray. Amen.